I'd invite you to turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 14. As we work through Acts, I've skipped a few chapters. We were in chapter 10, and I just want to look forward into chapter 14. This morning, I really couldn't figure out how to break the passages, the chapters before that, in a sensible way. So I'm just going to move up into Paul and Barnabas' visit to a town in sort of center, not really, like mid to south, part of what's now Turkey, in the Roman province of Lycaonia. And so it begins at Iconium, the city to which they went, the capital city of Lycaonia. Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles alike believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. Now there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it, those in the company of Paul and Barnabas, and fled to Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Here is the reading of God's holy word for us this morning. Thanks be to God. So I thought to entitle this, as I read it, the words, they poisoned their minds, leaped out at me. And so I thought, poison control. Now, you know, we have herbicides and insecticides that are able to kill things dead. And for instance, I learned from Penn State's extension site that if you do this, what's called hack and poison, with what's essentially Roundup, it's known as glyphosate, if you want to know. But if you use the double strength of that with a machete on what's called the Tree of Heaven, does anybody know the Tree of Heaven? Ever see it? Okay, I see one. There's a couple of hands there. You know the spotted lanternfly? I bet everybody knows the bug above bugs, the spotted lanternfly. I hate that bug. It's a bug that if you try and step on it, it'll jump out. If you try and slap it, it'll fly away before you can ever get even near it. And so as I was reading this, I was really intrigued that the Tree of Heaven is apparently its favorite tree above all trees. They both come from, guess where? China. Yes, among the many gifts that China has brought us, so does the Tree of Heaven and the lanternfly. And so the Penn State site was saying, the Tree of Heaven's bark is very thin. So if you just whack it with a machete and then paint it, you don't spray it all over, you just paint it with, there at the mark you've made with your machete, with the glyphosate, it'll kill it. It may take a couple of years of hacking and squirting, but it'll kill it. And I've noticed that every one of the trees that I've done that on is dead. Problem with the Tree of Heaven, though, is that what it does is shoots up runners elsewhere. And so you don't want to cut it down. You don't want to actually cut it down because it'll shoot up a runner over to the doors. You just want to hack it and poison it. They poison their minds, the Gentiles, and those who believed Paul and Barnabas along with them against the message of the gospel. And so if it had continued on that way, the message of the gospel would not have grown as it did. But listen to the next verse. This so intrigues me. It says in the very next verse, verse 3, "So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time among them, speaking boldly for the Lord." Now, it doesn't tell us how much time, but it does indicate that they didn't just, because of this opposition, run away. They spent time with the city of Iconium. Iconium was not just a minor little town. It was a city of some importance. It was, as I said, the capital of Lycaonia. And in, according to Christian history, in this day, Paul's and Barnabas's, there were at least 4 to 5 million Jews living within the Roman Empire at large. Every major city would have had at least one synagogue. Rome itself had 11 synagogues. There were in Rome 40 to 50,000 Jews. Now, I'm not sure how many there were in Iconium, but we can surmise that there were quite a few. And as the scripture tells us, there was a Jewish synagogue, at least one, to which Paul and Barnabas went. You know that Paul was previously called by the name of Saul when he was the persecutor of the church. And it just isn't told just before this, in fact, that he is renamed from Saul to Paul after his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he went to Damascus to learn more about who Jesus was. And furthermore, he went back home to his hometown of Tarsus. And there he continued in his learning. And Barnabas, the scripture tells us in this section that I skipped over, Barnabas went to Tarsus to sort of, I guess you would say, mentor or tutor Paul in the way. In fact, it says that it was there that people were first called Christians, the name that we claim as well. And so Paul and Barnabas, remember Barnabas was previously, it tells us in chapter 4, previously called Joseph, the name of Jesus's, well, earthly father, was Joseph of Cyprus, the island of Cyprus. And he had sold lands that he had had there and joined the apostles in Jerusalem and had given all the proceeds from the sale of his land to the apostles for use as they saw fit. As Joseph then was known as such a generous man, such an encourager, they called him almost as a nickname, Barnabas, meaning the son of encouragement. And so it was the son of encouragement and Paul, formerly Saul, who headed out on their missionary journey. And when they got to Iconium, even though they were faced with this opposition, serious opposition among those who were poisoning the minds of those who were converting to Christ, they stayed there many days. Isn't that an example for us? I mean, we've got a situation in our denomination that is borderline, if it weren't so sad, ludicrous. At the annual conference I just came home from, we had a woman who was defraught about 15 years ago. Robin, my wife, was on the jury, which voted to defraud her. And at this annual conference, she was reinstated, even though she was defraud for moral turpitude, reinstated, her orders returned to her, and our bishop, no less, knelt and wept before her. What happened to the Methodist movement being centered around seeking a holy life? Look, we all are sinners and fallen short of the glory of God. We all know that. And thanks be to God that there is, as it says here in the scripture, that Jesus, the Lord, allowed miraculous signs and wonders. I'm looking there in verse 3 further on. Signs and wonders to confirm the message about His grace, to happen. But I'll tell you, the main message was what? The same one that John the Baptist, Jesus Himself, Barnabas, Paul, Peter, all have spoken of. Throughout Acts, we find again and again the message was about the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for them and rose again as confirmation that His death was the atoning sacrifice for us. Time and again, Jesus speaks about repent and believe that the kingdom of God has drawn near to us. Without repentance, there's no salvation. Without repentance, there's no forgiveness of sin. And without the acknowledgement that we need forgiveness, where are we but lost? Right? I do not get it, then, that we have embarked upon a trail that asks nothing of us, and yet seems to think that the world is going to be attracted to a movement which has become just like the world. Who would want to go and join something that asks nothing of us? I sure wouldn't. No. The great hymn, "A Charge to Keep I Have, a God to Glorify," speaks of nothing less than that we have something greater to live for than ourselves alone. A charge that we've been given. Holiness. To seek that we might honor the God who saved us from the lost ways we lived in before. It was at Iconium that Paul and Barnabas spoke this message of the gospel and spoke it boldly. And because of that boldness, they were opposed. That's always going to be this case. But it was in their opposition that they decided what? We're going to stay here a long time so that we can speak it more and more boldly. And that the confirmation of this message might be with the miraculous signs and wonders that God is doing among us by His grace. Amen? Look, sharing the word is not all that hard. It just takes the time of listening and then speaking at the right moment. I'll never forget the IHOP that Robin and I stopped at a few years ago on our way out to Missouri. Anybody know what IHOPs are? You know, International House of Pancakes sounds real fancy, is not. Not a four-star restaurant by any means. We went in, we're seated at the counter, and there was a guy next to us, though, whom I'll never forget. He had on, you know how baseball hats wear out? Kind of get all threadbare. And he had on one of those hats. It might have had like DeKalb on it, something like that, farm seed company. I saw his hands were weather-beaten and rough from working on something like a farm. Well, I said hi. He said hi to me, but it seemed like there was more there. And so we got into a conversation, just a sort of informal conversation. But as our food arrived, Robin and I grabbed our hands together and we bowed our heads to pray and in blessing the food and those who served it to us. And all of a sudden, I felt that guy grab my hand. And as we closed in prayer, he continued in prayer. And I found out that guy had just lost his wife. And he needed someone to talk to. That's how simple it can be. Think how Paul and Barnabas spent, what's it say? Considerable time. They were getting to know their people there in Iconium. Now, Robin was a little miffed, to be honest with you. She thought, what in the world? Why is Tim spending time with this guy he doesn't know? And I'm sitting here. What am I? Chopped liver? Right. But she recognized that the Lord was doing something. Jesus often said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has eyes to see, let him see. That's all really we've got to do at the end, right? With your own friends, with those strangers you meet, with our town around us. I'm really glad we're having this party hosted by our Sunday school. We can get outside, and just by being outside with hot dogs and s'mores and stuff, games, be inviting the community to join us. That's what we've got to do. Because in so doing, we invite them to a relationship with the sovereign Lord. The best poison control is not an herbicide or pesticide for our souls. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Doesn't just let us alone to do whatever we want to do. No. It transforms us by the renewing of our minds to be in conformity with what the Lord in His holiness would do. Let us live into that holy lifestyle, which the church alone calls us to, because it's in the church alone that we are the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Heavenly Father, we pray that what we do, what we say, might emulate our Savior. Amen.